Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Happy to be out this morning.
Amen.
Amen. Let's all stand. Let's go before Him in prayer. Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we send up our love this morning, Lord, to You. Lord, we just love and appreciate You. Lord, we feel You in our hearts this morning, Lord, and we just thank You for everything You've done for us, for Your blessings, Your mercies. Lord, the opportunity to come, Lord, and sing Thy praises. Lord, I pray You'll bless us with Your presence this morning once again. Let Your will be done in our lives, Lord. Let Your will be done in this service. Everything that's said and done be for Your glory and Your honor. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ we ask. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. He's so precious. Page 594 on our Only Believe books. Amen. Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place. Omnipotent Father of mercy and grace, Thou art welcome in this place. Lord, in Thy presence there's healing divine. No other power can save, Lord, but Thine. Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place. Thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, fill all the hungry and empty within. Restore us, O Father, revive us again. Holy Spirit, omnipotent Father of mercy and grace, Thou art welcome in this place. Lord, in Thy presence there's healing divine. And Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Omnipotent Father of mercy and grace, thou art welcome. Restore us, O Father, revive us again. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Thou art welcome.
Invite him in this morning. Hallelujah. Lord, just let your holy presence, Lord, fill this place, oh God. Hallelujah. Amen. Lord, we appreciate you for all you've done, Lord. We love you. Amen. Lord, come here to stay with us, Lord. We love and appreciate you. Lord, we need you. Lord, let your Holy Spirit, Lord, your presence guide us and lead us. Oh, hallelujah. Let that be our desire this morning. Amen. Glory, hallelujah. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome. Basking in his spirit and his presence. Amen. He's been good to us. Amen. Page 32 in our little capstone books. A little loose leaf there. Amen.
My boat of life sails on a troubled sea. But I have a friend who watches over me when the breeze turns into a gale.
Sing it.
I know the master of the wind.
Hallelujah. Amen.
I know the master of the wind.
Glory, hallelujah.
I know the maker of the rain. He can calm the storm, make the sun shine again. I know the master of the wind. Sometimes I soar like an eagle in the sky. Among the peace my soul can be found. Then an unexpected storm
drive me from the high. Mary loving never brings me down. Amen. I'm a master of the wind. Hallelujah. Glory. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory. Hallelujah. He can calm the storm, make the sun shine again. I know, master of the wind. Sing it again, hallelujah. Oh, I know, master of the wind. Oh, I know, maker of the rain. He can calm the storm, make the sun shine again. Father, for your grace. Hallelujah. Lord, you're right there beside us, Lord, whenever we need you. Lord, you never leave us nor forsake us, Lord. You said in your word. Hallelujah. Amen. We appreciate you this morning. Lord, may we glorify you, Lord, for what you've done for us, oh God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Lord, fill this place with your presence, oh God. Hallelujah. Oh, I know the master of the wind. Amen. I know the maker of the rain. He can calm the storm, make the sun shine again. I know the master of the wind. Hallelujah. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Praise your wonderful name. Amen. Glory, hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Saints, we got something money can't buy. Amen. It's his mercy and grace. You can't buy it. You can't earn it. It's given by his Holy Spirit. Amen. God, be thankful this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the wonderful name, Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Whenever you need him, he's right there. Amen. Sometimes you might feel like you're all alone in this world. He's always right there to help you and guide you. Amen. He's precious. Let's look at that little song on page 697. Amen. You are my hiding place. Amen. Just a little chorus there. Only believe there. You are my hiding place. You always fill my heart with song. I'm sorry. Let's start over. I'm sorry. Amen. You. You About him, what he's done for you, eh, saints? How many times you needed him to hide with him. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Trusting you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. He knows what's best. Brother Amos, you take up the offering this morning.
Precious name, Lord, as thy word goes forth, may our hearts be open to receive the portion you have. we just yield ourselves completely unto thee. Lord, as it comes to this portion, Lord, we ask that you bless this offering. Let it be used for the upbuilding of thy kingdom. We pray in your precious holy name, Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. You are my hiding place. You always fill my heart with song of deliverance whenever I am afraid. I will trust in you. Amen. I will trust in you. Let the weak say I am strong in the strength of the Lord.
Amen. Who has a need by the upraising of your hand this morning? Amen. Just keep it on your hearts and before the Lord as we ask Brother Jim to take the request this morning if you would. Song this morning, I want to sing. Special. I ask you to come.
Every day I may walk and talk and act like nothing's in my way. I may even hold my head up high and tell the world that my life's okay. But if I ever come in contact with the presence of the great Almighty, oh, my story would be different. I would tremble and fall down on my knees. In his presence, I feel so little. In God's presence, I see how I really am. Oh, in his presence, everything is I see how small I am, how big he is in his presence. How softly we should walk into his presence with fluttering hearts. How quiet and reverent we should and listen with such awe. Or if the Holy Spirit would take his flight and tell me, where would we be? What an honor and a privilege to feel his holy presence so sweet. We're in his presence. Don't you feel so little? We're in God's presence. Everything is different. I see how small I am, how big he is in his
Amen. 'Twas a dark and stormy night. Amen. The Sea of Galilee. Let's reach out and touch the Lord. Let's sing that last verse. And as the chorus, we sing the chorus, we'll ask our pastor to come in. As you walk the dusty wayside on his way to raise the dead, mighty was the crowd that pressed him, hungry for him, amen. Oh, I must hug him, cried a woman. I must touch him, or I'll die. She reached out and touched the Lord as he
and touch the Lord as he goes by. Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. You'll find he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He's passing by this moment, your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. Amen. Do you want to reach out this morning? Touch him. He's here. Amen. Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this precious time together here under the holy inspiration. The Lord Jesus, we gather here under the Word of God and want to commit ourselves completely to it. That Lord, we'd come in here today again, dear Jesus, and ask you to just clear our minds of anything and everything that would be a distraction. Anything, Lord, would cause us to veer to the right or left. But Father, stay centered upon the will of God. We ask now that you would do that for us. And, oh, Holy Spirit, flow through each one of us. We know we're getting ready for a rapture, Lord. The days are numbered, Lord. It's a time where it's getting close now. And there's not very many days left. But, Lord, Lord Jesus, let us redeem the time we have left. And Lord Jesus, use it wisely. And Father, commit ourselves completely unto you. We pray now thy will be done, and speak to our hearts through the word of God. And as the prophet said, give us revelation, Father, of the word of God. We ask it now for your glory and honor. In your glorious, precious name we ask, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. You're happy to be here this morning. By God's grace, I'm here. Amen. By his mercy, his love, and desire that he gives. Amen. Aren't you thankful for that desire? That's something that burns in your heart to serve him, to obey him, to do what he wants done in your life and through your life. Amen. Appreciate every one of you could make it today, and pray God will bless you. And I see Brother Pitts brought brother with him, so we appreciate that. Pray God will bless him richly. And we're not a smart, educated people. Well, I should say I'm not. I can't speak for you because I know I'm not. I can only do what I do by the grace of God. You see, I am nothing without him. But let us turn to Ephesians, the fourth chapter again. I want to pick back up on that little message we was on a couple weeks ago, and about perfection. And I want to title the little message this morning, Desiring Perfection. Amen. We know it's not a message people like to talk about. It's not something because they take it the wrong way and they think of things the wrong way. But yet, it's the Word. And how we should have such a drive in our heart to be everything God wants us to be. Everything. Which is lacking so greatly in this day. All right, Ephesians 4, and let's just read that 11th and 12th verse. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And may the Lord bless again the reading of his word, and you may be seated. Again, thinking about this morning, there should be now more than ever this longing, burning desire, great holy ambition to be everything God wants us to be. Everything that he put in his word that is for us in this day and hour. It should be burning our heart to fulfill it, to see it made manifest. As the prophet spoke of in Christ, the mystery of God revealed, Paul prisoner, all these different things I mentioned many times, which are so many things in there, the token and so forth. It should be our everyday hunger. I mean, how could somebody go along through life and have Christ in them in reality? Really, truly be filled with the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of God within them and not dwell upon these things. And seeing maybe they'll go through trials and tests in life. Things will happen. Things will go wrong. Things will take place. And then if they see that they got trapped into something and they failed, how there should be such a burning desire to never see it happen again. But we can see what age we're living in. It's that Laodicean age. But God predestinated a bride to not be caught up in that, to where she would be this lukewarm, as the scripture says. Because thou art neither cold nor hot, but lukewarm, I will spew thee out of my mouth. See, God preordered, pre-planned a people to be this people he could dwell in and would not let the things of this life distract them and take them away from the very purpose they've been set for. And as I said, it should be such a drive in our heart to see if God's word says anything. I mean, if it's from women, their hair, or men with the way they do and act around on the job or places they go, whatever it may be, to make sure it is done exactly like God said to do it. As I said, and that's the thing you see lack in people's lives throughout the land. And yet they call themselves Christians. They call themselves believers. And they even follow the prophet's messages and so forth. But still, the drive is not there to be just exactly like it said. If he brought the message, Paul, prisoner of Jesus Christ, it's just not there to be that prisoner. It's just a message to him. If it's in Christ, the mystery of God, and different things, the prophet said that every action declare Christ, him. Every action. It just don't seem to be the drive there and the ambition to be that exactly. Because there's all kind of actions goes for us. There's all kind of carnalism. And people just do things just so carnal and fleshly. And yet call themselves believers. You know? But where is the genuine people? The ones who would not be caught up in this Laodicean age. Where they would be in that lukewarm state. They're neither cold nor they're hot. But just lukewarm. They know what's good. They know what's right. But as the scripture says, one day he'll say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. What is iniquity? None to do good and doeth it not. You see? So, I want you to listen this morning again to these quotes. I'll read, I think, one of them that I read the other day on this, a couple weeks ago. But some other ones. And I actually kind of had my thoughts to set on a different subject, but seemed like the Holy Spirit just kept driving me back to this. That's what we're going to do. So again, we'll title, as I said, Desiring Perfection. And trusting that we will see what the prophet said about this and Scripture declares. All right? But he said, for the perfecting the saints, these men would be given from God. It would be what God gave to the church. Not what man, you know, so many men come along today and say, I'm going to decide to take this in college and I'm going to be a preacher. You know, and we even got them in this message. I think I'll have some college before I go preaching this message. Nonsense, you see. If God called you, he's got you ready. He sent you. He's got you there for a purpose. He's got that position for you. And you'll do exactly what he wants you to do, you see. But it's for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So, just what is this, and what does it mean to me? You as an individual, not so much me standing here as being a part of that ministry, but as you being a sheep sitting there. And to have this word presented to you, and I not that I use this word for myself and apply it to myself, I do. But I want you to sit there this morning, and I want you to apply it to yourself and as an individual. Okay? And this is seated, not air, which is shuck. This was preached April 29, 1965. It's in paragraph 38. He says, and that's what we should strive for, his perfect will. And Brother Pitts was talking about this the other day. We should strive for it. There should be something about it that we'd strive. There's an ambition. There's a desire. There's a drive burning in our hearts to be everything. I'm sure you'd have to agree with me that you have seen over the years, hopefully not just recently in your own life, but how you've seen over the years people, they'll go a certain amount of the word. Just go a certain amount, but when it comes to a certain thing that'll bring too much reproach on themselves or maybe cost a family member getting upset with them and leaving them, and not have no fellowship with them or something like that, then they kind of just let off a little bit. Instead of staying with the full and complete word. Okay? Amen. Have you ever seen people do that?
Amen.
I sure have. Many, many times I've seen that. I've seen people say that they're born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, and those little foxes that eat the vine. Those little things that seem to always go undone. That, oh, there's more important things to look at. Don't mess with these little things. Well, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds in the mouth of God. Now, that should be the drive that's in our hearts. It should be something we strive for, the perfect will of God. You See, something that about us that we can't rest without it. There's just something so strong about it. It's something so great and so tremendous that if he does say in his word, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, we will do it. We won't drive down the highway past the speed limit. I know a lot of people in this day, and even people in the message, like, that's fanaticism. You prove it's fanaticism. I call that a desire not to live by every word. Oh.
Amen.
I call that Laodicean, caught up in that Laodicean age of lukewarm. That it's not important. I just use that for an example. Because the one that seemed like one of them things that people thinks nothing. I won't get caught. There ain't no police around. We'll go downtown and not even think about a turn signal. Yeah. But if you see a police, oh, it's click, 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 click. And how many times working on police cars and sheriff cars as we do, how many times I maybe have to take it to another part of town to get something done to it? And people, you can see their actions. They're doing this, that, and the other. And all of a sudden, they hit the brakes. Everything's, hi. They don't even know who I am. They just think I'm another policeman or a sheriff deputy, you know. But is that what it is with our walk with Christ? That if we'd happen to see Jesus, oh, hi, buddy. I'm acting fine now. Everything's good. I'm a good boy. Yeah. But the thing is, he knows your thoughts. He knows everything about us. You see? And he knows whether we really desire to keep everything he says. Go ahead and call fanaticism. I've heard people call it fanaticism. God don't expect us to do everything. Oh, he don't? He really don't. Where did you get that creed? Where did you get that idea? That doctrine of man that'll kill you? Where did you get that from? You didn't get it from God. No, it came from Satan. You see? So, again, is the desire there and the ambition? I'm trusting by what I read today, it'll further stir you to that. Or bring you to a greater recognition that this is what God requires. That it isn't just a man's creed, but it's the Word of God. That we should live like this. It should be the drive. It should be the what we strive for. That everything would be just right for God. I've preached on these things before, but I want to hit it again. If God would tell us to climb that tree out there and stay in it all day. If his word would tell us that, we'd be the first one in that tree and be there all day until he told us come down. Now we're talking about real prisoners of the Lord Jesus Christ. How can we truly become prisoners of the Lord Jesus Christ, as the prophet brought it out, when we can't even obey the word as it already says? How can we find a leadership of the Holy Spirit to do something he needs done in our life, or he wants us to do for somebody, or lead us to do something for his will, if we can't even do what the word plainly says? How could we be a prisoner? How could he have the preeminence, as he speaks of in Christ's mystery God revealed? How could it be? How could this happen? How could it ever take place? Well, again, it's just another message not fulfilled. Paul, a prisoner. Another message, Christ's mystery God revealed. Different things he said, an unveiling of God, and all these different things. Just another message, not fulfilled. But again, God preordered and predestinated the people that he places inside of them, the hunger, the drive, the tremendous ambition to do everything he says do. And he equips them with what it takes to know what to do. I know how to do it. You see. I won't be able to get through all this today yet, but we'll work on it. All right? So let's go to another quote. This is a marriage and divorce, paragraph 82. This is February 21st, 1965. Here in a little bit, we'll read some more scripture, but I want to read some of these quotes first. Look at all this revival has went on for 15 years or more, and not one denomination come out of it. Excuse me, Luther had a revival. There went a denomination. Wesley, there went a denomination. Alexander Campbell, there went a denomination. And these other great ones, John Smith and so forth, denominations. Moody, all along. But usually revival only lasts about 3 years. But this has been going over 15 years, and not one denomination has sprung up from it. Excuse me. For this is the seed time. There is no more shuck. After one shuck is gone, it's seed. God is ready. And if he isn't doing it now, he is going to call church to perfection by his word, Jesus Christ. Okay? By his word. Not what some man does. You know, I could get up here, and any man could get up here and maybe speak as eloquent as could be, educated as could be, most very important as could be. But however it is, unless Jesus Christ, his word, by the Holy Spirit, places it in your heart, it'll never do you any good. Amen. So we gather here this morning, and we're trusting that the Holy Spirit will deal with our hearts personally as an individual. Again, as we receive the word, we become the word. Isn't that what Scripture says? Absolutely. So we're trusting that by going back into these things today that we want to read, that we will become this and be just exactly what he said. So we won't be like a lot of other people we see as claiming to be Christians. I mean, this goes to the extreme side of it. But as I said, many times I've come through town and services may be a different time on Sunday. People come out of their churches and can't wait to get out. It's supposed to be 40 foot away from the door, so they go around the corner of the building and light a cigarette up. Women coming out of the building, dresses above their knees, earrings on, makeup, just a mess. Now that's the extreme part of it. Now, you want to know the other part of it now? There's absolutely no difference in God's eyes. If you break the law on one thing, you're guilty of it all, friends. If we walk out that door today, we're a message-believing people. We're supposed to be really Christians, people that's really dedicating our life. There's absolutely no difference if we go out that door and the wife comes up and spats with me. And then the husband raises up knee and jumps back. Now the quarrel's on. Or the child comes up about that big, comes up and just back talks mommy and daddy. Now, Junior, don't do that. It's absolutely no different. I mean, absolutely, positively, no difference. Now, people through their carnal mind makes it a difference. Oh, but I'm a believer. I've got the message under my belt. And I'm a genuine Christian. I know the day I was filled with the Holy Ghost. And they think they're different from what just walked out them doors. Try it on the dead judgment and see if it works. Amen. It ain't going to work. He already said what happened to the lukewarm ones. Not the white hot, the lukewarm. Spew them out of his mouth. And he already said, as I already said, depart from me, you work of iniquity. Who's going to really know what's good and what's right? Really, these end time message believers. You really know. Wow. So, again, is there drive? Is the ambition there burning to be every speck of what God's word told me to be? Everything. Woman dressing in modest apparel? They don't even know what modest is anymore. They think it's modest if it's covered here and dragging the ground. They think that's modest. It is if it fits right. But if it don't fit right, And it shows your bosom, your rear, your twisting. It still ain't modest. No. But we think, because of our modern education and our modern way of thinking, it's right. I'm so much a better Christian than people walking out of the town, them churches in town you was talking about, brother. Are you really? Are you really? That's the thing. See, because this is a place we've got to come for. Friends, the life has to be in the body of Christ. It has to be. And everything's got to be right. And we'll find out. Okay? He says here, let me read this one more time. God is ready. If he isn't doing it now, he's going to call a church to perfection by his word, Jesus Christ. Notice there must be an answer somewhere. And being the seven seal mystery of God, seven seals, he says, how many understand that? I wonder if we do understand that God is calling a church to perfection. I said, well, Brother Steve, Brother Branham said, in indictment, he said, the body of, or the bride of Jesus Christ is perfect through the blood of Jesus Christ. Absolutely. We're talking about another thing. Yeah. Talking about another thing here now. We're talking about what he said a people would do. Okay? If they're really truly covered in the blood of Jesus Christ, filled with the Holy Spirit, they will match these things he's saying in these other places. See? But as Brother Branham said, it's the most deceptive age it's ever been. People can believe they're Christians when they're not. No. And he said in the seal book also, he said there's going to be millions that's going to burn in hell that believe they was Christians. Think of that. Ain't that something that the human mind could even think? And the tabernacle of flesh walking around and being so educated and smart as we seem to be in this age could really think there's something when they're not. You know? It almost seems, as smart as the human race should be, it almost seems impossible. But that's what deceit does. That's what the deceiving power of Satan does. Makes people think there's something when they're not. And when a man thinketh himself to be something when he is not, he deceiveth himself. You see? So let's go on. Christ's mystery of God revealed, paragraph 578, July 20th, 1963. Now we see the promise being fulfilled, Christ, the true headship, coming in his bride. Wow. Now just think, if he's coming into a people, which makes up his bride, must be has be something done special to come in a people. I mean, somebody this great, this wonderful, the creators of the heaven, the creator of the heavens and the earth, to come into a people must be something special. You know? Coming in his bride, doing the same works that he did at the beginning, and making ready and fulfilling his word as he did at first. In John 14:12. He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. Then the head and the body are becoming one. Wow. We'll just ask the question. Do you think he would become one with some of the stuff going on today? Huh? You really think he would? You don't think she would be taken through the process of the message of that prophet God sent for the last days and washed with the waters of the word? Think he'd just come into anything? Huh? My. He says, the body are becoming one in works and in sign and in life. Wow. Now just hearing that, there should be something about it. When I hear that, it's, oh, God, help me to be exactly like that. Mold me, remake me, tear me apart if need be, Lord, to get me to that. That should be what's burning. Not just as you sit here under the sound of my voice and I'm repeating these things back to you and stirring your pure minds away of remembrance, but through the day, through the night, when men on the job are just hammering on you, when the children in the home are just tearing things to pieces, where's it at then? You see? Then the head and the body are becoming one in works and in sign in life, vindicated by God Himself. I didn't ever know God doing something wrong or God not being able to do something right. I've always seen in the Scripture whatever He does it right. Ain't that the truth? Did you ever see where He messed something up? Did you ever see where He couldn't handle something? Did you ever see maybe Moses when he started across the water and then God couldn't hold the water back so it came in before Moses got across? No. It worked. It was right. Then when it was done, then the water come in. Did you ever see have Noah build a ship, a boat, a great boat, and to sail the troubled seas, the storm, to destroy this earth with water, and it didn't float? It floated just exactly because He built it just like God told Him to build it. God never messes anything up. Do you ever see it mess up? Did you ever read anywhere in the Bible where it messed up, wherein Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego got thrown into the fiery furnace? Did you ever see it get messed up? No. They looked at seeing the fourth man in the fire, and their clothes wasn't even stinking with smoke. Everything was right. Did you ever see David with his sling and his old stone? Did you ever see him had to go through three or four stones to find a hit and still not hit right? And then that giant maybe just get bounced back and go, and then come after David? No. God always does it right. Right. And He don't want anything messed up. He's already proved it. He don't work with messed up jobs. When He's declared His word to do something, it happens just exactly like He says. He predestinated a bride in this last days to fulfill and the word of God be made manifest through her, and she would be under His preeminence. And she would declare His actions. Guess what? It ain't going to get messed up either. Nah. The messed up stuff ain't part of His. That's the story. Whatever He promised, it'll happen. And it'll happen exactly like He said. It ain't going to be messed up, friend. No. He preordered. He predestinated people that He'd fulfill this through. And it isn't going to get messed up. It might have been messed up before Christ came in them. But after the new birth, friends, I'm not saying you won't make a mistake. You might get trapped in something. But the lovely part of it is the power of the Holy Spirit within you will bring you to overcome that circumstance. And it comes out to His victory again. Hallelujah. But I'm telling you, God don't goof around. I don't mean to say it that way and be sacrilegious. But I'm telling you, He don't mess things up. He does things right. Very right. Yes. I want that to sink in your heart real deep. Because Satan wants the people to believe today God messes things up. He can't do nothing right either. He's like the rest of us human beings. No, He ain't. He's God. Amen. He's God. Everything goes just the way He wants it to go. And whatever He promised in a body of believing people today, thus shall it be. But we always think, oh, you know, Brother Brian mentioned how many times about, oh, healing ain't for today, or this ain't for today. When people think this life, literal life of Jesus Christ, ain't for today. But I'm going to tell you what it is. The literal life of Jesus Christ is for today. But Satan wants to block you from that. He knows I'm inflation. I'm going to goof up all the time and I can't do nothing right. Oh, is that so? Then what's the sense of him coming into a body? But he promised he'd get preeminence of it. In his word, he promised that our actions declare him. Yeah. In his word, he promised that we'd be conformed to the image of his son. The works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these shall you do, because I go unto the Father. He promised it all over the place. But Satan comes in and enters the thoughts and causes us to devaluate the word. Well, regardless how Satan wants to devaluate it, like he did Eve, in the true bride of Jesus Christ, he'll not be able to devaluate it. Because he promised he'd have a bride that would not fall. Yes. Amen. All right, let's go on. Let's read Romans 12, if you want to turn with me. That's up to you. Romans 12, I'm going to read first, second verse. Let's get this under our belt here. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. My. Holy. Acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, to some, it may not seem too reasonable. But when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, it's so reasonable. He equips you with what it takes to do this. Oh, the desires has changed completely around. See? And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye, or you, okay, now here's the individual part coming in, that you may prove. You know what it is to prove something, don't you? You know? You may be talking about something, you may tell somebody, I've got this nice automobile, and it's a 19 or 2014 Cadillac Seville, and this, that, and the other, and yet it ain't sitting there nowhere. And the person may say, I don't believe it. Well, follow me, I'll prove it. It's sitting in the garage here. I still don't believe it. Well, let me get the title out. It's got my name on it. Prove. Now, we must prove. Are we going to do it in ourselves? No. We can do nothing in ourselves, but through Jesus Christ only. But we're going to prove you have to. Don't look at me. Yeah, I got to too. I'm an individual before God. So I have to too. But you have to too. Prove what is that good. I'll guarantee you whatever is good with God is his word. And acceptable, again, it has to be his word. Because that's the only thing he'll accept, his word. For he is the word. And perfect. Will of God. Prove. Now, how else am I going to prove that that's what the perfect will of God is if I'm not doing the perfect will of God? If I tell you I had that Cadillac in the garage, and it wasn't a Cadillac, it was a little Rambler, 1961 Rambler. And things was junk to start with. But anyhow, but here I try to open up the garage door, oh, it's a 61 Rambler. That man would like look at me and like, are you crazy? They know 2014 Cadillac Seville. You bonkers in the head or something? Something wrong here. I mean, there's something going on here. But what about us? We are commissioned to prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Has God placed within us what it's going to take? We're not up here talking about it now and renewing our minds back to it, or is the attitude, I just might as well forget it. Because that ain't going to happen. I'm not even going to try, brother. Because I know I can't do it. Guess what? Nobody in here can. No. This is a life you cannot live yourself. Amen. Jesus Christ has to be there in your life. He has to be there on the control seat of your life, your heart, and bring this body under subjection. That's how it's going to happen. And he operates by desire. He places a desire in there. That soul is a desire. That nature is desire. Absolutely. You take an animal, a horse. Now, they don't have a soul. But they have a nature about them, an animal nature. And a horse ain't going to go out there and start mooing like a cow. No. And it's not going to start hopping like a kangaroo. But if that thing's born a horse, it's a horse. And its actions is going to be a horse. When a man or a woman is filled with the Holy Spirit and Christ comes in them, what are you going to see? Christ again. Simple as that. You're not going to see something else. You're going to see Christ in everything. And if maybe they did fail in something, again, the desire is there to stop that nonsense. You ever see how people was, and over the years, when they really received the genuine Holy Ghost and the Spirit of God dwelling in their heart, and maybe they was the rankest of sinners, and all of a sudden, they start, if it's a woman, they start covering themselves. Brother Branham talked about them women over in Africa. Oh, primitive, you know, and didn't hardly have any clothes at all on. They said when they was under that inspiration of the Holy Spirit, they began to try to cover themselves. Yeah. Yeah. And when a man or a woman begins and they have received Christ in their heart, there's something about it. They begin to understand. They begin to receive the Word and know exactly what God wants done with His Word. It won't be the thing... Speed limit 60 mile an hour. There ain't nobody around. 70, I'm going. No. No. That's not what the law said. The law does not state that if a policeman is not around, you can bypass the speed limit. Is that what it says? No, it doesn't. It doesn't say you can bypass it because of that. But these other things. In God's Word, because your eyes can't see Jesus Christ in the physical form, does that make you bypass whatever He says in His Word? But if He comes around and if you could actually see Him physically, oh, I better be careful. I got to watch now. You might as well forget it. You ain't got nothing real to start with. You see? But again, where's the ambition and drive to keep everywhere? I'm slow getting to this, but that's all right. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So that's for every one of us. Every one of us. To make sure the job gets done. To prove what is the good and acceptable. What God's going to accept. He'll only accept His Word, remember. The good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. 2 Corinthians 13, 7 verse. Now listen what even Paul says here. Now I pray to God that ye do no evil. Evil is anything contrary to the Word of God. It's not just going out committing adultery. It's not going out and smoking, cursing, all that. Anything that's wrong whatsoever, that's contrary to the Word of God, is evil. You see? Now I pray to God that ye do no evil. Not that we should appear proved, but that ye should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. Wow, what a real stand to be able to take. We can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. For we are glad when we are weak, and ye are strong. And this also we wish... Even your perfection. See the tune Paul was into? And the prophet carried it right over in this age? Absolutely. Therefore, I write these things being absent, lest being present, I should use sharpness according to the power which the Lord hath given me to edification and not to destruction. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. Wow. Now, things, excuse me, and things that are to be. Paragraph 62. This was preached December 5th, 1965. Now, I read this one a couple weeks ago. But listen to it now, and we'll go into some other ones. I'll try to hurry up here. For this morning, anyway. Oh, but the other one is called My Father's House. I go and prepare a place for you, take you out of this pest house, and deliver you into My Father's house. Amen. There you are. Take you out of this old earthly pest house. He's gone to prepare a place, a perfect place where no evil exists. No sickness exists. No old age exists. No death exists. It's a perfect place calling you to that perfection. You know, I was thinking about this. Remember Brother Branham said, excuse me, Brother Branham said, what you are here is what you'd be there. He said, if you're a doubter of God's word now, here, you'd be a doubter of God's word there. Is that right? Amen. He said, if you're a hothead here, you'd be a hothead there. He said, don't worry. You won't be there. I was thinking about that. I'm thinking about perfection. With what he's going to say next. He said, it's a perfect place calling you to that perfection. Is there something calling to that perfection? You know, Brother Graham talked about the deep calling to the deep. You know? Is there calling for perfection? Is there something to strive for perfection? Is there something in there to strive for, to do, and be pleasing in God's sight in everything? I believe that's something you could really see in the prophet when he was here. Yeah. To all the many things that people spoke about him and the way he conducted himself and different things, he strove to be perfect and pleasing to God in everything. Have we as individuals got that? The burning desire to do everything the way God wants it done. Not to cheat people. No. Try to deceive them into thinking this and that it's like this and yet it's not. You know, like I used a little illustration before, and I've seen so-called Christians do this before. They go sell them an automobile, and knowing that automobile, they've had it checked out, and they know it's about ready to blow a rod. Maybe they bought it and purchased it and know that that thing was full of bananas in the rear end. Now, you old-timers know what I'm talking about. And yet, go to sell it and I'll say a word about it. Now, think of that. And supposed to be Christians. How could people do that and be a Christian? And be like Jesus Christ? How could it be? But is there something in there, let me ask again, striving to be everything honest? Everything. Or do we try to hide a little something so they don't know it? When they paid for this certain thing and try to hide it somewhere where they won't catch it. How could you be? Huh? It's always better to be honest. Always works out better to be honest. And regardless of what your dealings is or what you're doing in life, it's always best to be honest. Even though it may peel your hide and make you look so little, it's always still better to be honest above everything. It's a perfect place calling you to that perfection, and you have to be perfect to get there. A lot of people's got in mind, I'm going to be perfect when I get there. But what about now? Huh? Oh, sure we know this flesh is not perfect by no means. No, no, no. And never be perfect in that way. But what about these other things he's speaking about here? I'm going to speak about. He says, the Bible said, Jesus said, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. It's a perfect kingdom. So it must be perfect. It must be a perfect people come. Wow. Because you have to stand and be married to a perfect Son of God. And you must be a perfect bride. Thank God for his blood. Why? So how can you do it through anything else but the perfect Word of God, which is, he says, the waters of separation that washes us from our sins. That's right. The blood of Jesus Christ, think of it, the dripping bloody word, the blood, the Word of God, bleeding blood to wash the bride in. Yes, sir. She stands perfect, virgin, unadulterated. She's never sinned in the first place. She was trapped into it. Oh. Now there's a difference in claiming that place with Christ and it manifesting that place with Christ. You realize the people that can say that, oh, the Word of God says I'm a virgin and I'm perfect and undulated, never sinned in the first place. And nothing there to back it up. It's like going to the garage and telling you it's a Cadillac and there's an old Rambler sitting in there. Yeah. Doesn't make sense. So God just does this for people and then don't expect nothing? And nothing in their lives change. They just stay the same old dishonest people. The people that don't obey the word. They just stay that. Nothing changes. After him doing this for them. Oh yes, something changes. There's something about it when he talks about them being perfect virgin and unadulterated. Yeah, never sinned in the first place. Something about it. Yeah. There's a proving. Yeah. And they prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Something has changed in their life. Now they're different. You see? May seem so elementary what I'm saying. But the greatest of theologians and ministers in this message, many of them, don't understand it. If they did, how could they let sin go on that goes on? What do you think a man standing there behind a pulpit and knows the message of this day and won't tell people the truth because he's afraid of losing a congregation? What would you think of a man like that? Scripture calls him a traitor. What do you think of a man that would stand behind a pulpit and preach this message and he wouldn't go places to preach because he don't get enough money? Huh? And he's got the money to go there. What would you think about a man like that? If I took the time, I could show you what God thinks about a man like that. Yeah. But there's a proof. There's a proving. If you are the one that never sinned in the first place, unadulterated, virgin bride to Jesus Christ. It isn't just making claims and then saying, I believe it. But there's something that happens and people will see it. The sign of this time, I'm going to close here real quickly here. I won't go through all this. Paragraph 117. Now this last great step must come into perfection that the Holy Spirit has to live in that church so perfectly It'll make the head and the body unite together. See, that's the body. He is the head in the body. Now we find that he promised this in the last days. So we're in the last days. This is when he promised it. There will be so much like that to become one. Yeah. So much alike. My. Shouldn't there be something striving in our hearts to be exactly what he wants me to be? Knowing what he is? Knowing what the Word of God says he does and has done and will do? Wouldn't there be something that should be driving on the inside to be all that he is? See, that's the body. He is the head of the body. Now we find that he promised in these last days and that it would be done. And it will be. All right. In closing, now you sisters, come up if you would, the instruments. God's provided a place of worship. Paragraph 196, April 25th, 1965. The church will come through justification, through Luther, through sanctification, through Wesley, through the baptism of the Holy Ghost, through the Pentecostals, and go right on into perfection of the Son of Man. That when husband and wife will be the same self persons, God will be so manifested in his bride. Till they will both be the same. Wow. Don't you know you're written epistles right of all men? That's what we should be. As Brother Branham said, people won't read their Bible today, so they should be able to look at you and tell what that Bible says. But how can they do that when we do things that ain't Bible? Not scriptural. When they see these things that's not scriptural, they know it's some other Bible. It ain't the real, genuine Bible. It's something different. And I'm sure also you've heard people so many times over the years, they're no more different than I am. They're doing this and they're doing that and they're doing that wrong. I seen him get upset at this person and this happened. Ain't you seen that happen? Yeah. Oh my. Especially somebody you may go up and try to witness to and talk to him about it. I don't believe in that stuff. There ain't nobody real Christians. See how that would happen in the age we live. Because there sure ain't very many of them. Not very many at all. People have become a hog's die. Slothfulness. Lukewarm. They're not really on fire to do everything God said. It's just they didn't know enough to get them in trouble. Say, what do you mean, Brother Steve? No enough to get in trouble. Because they're going to stand on that day. Depart from me, work of iniquity. I know you not. You knew what I said. I sent a prophet in the last age. And he told you exactly what it would be. Scripturally proven and vindicated. All the scripture. And you still did not do what I say to do. Wouldn't it be a terrible thing that to stand on the day of judgment? Knowing as much as we know about the Word, and then have to hear that voice say, depart from me. We may go walking up there and thinking, praise God, I've got this whipped, you know. As a believer, I believed in time message, and I had done this, and I paid my tithes and offerings, and I dressed this way, and all this, you know. And then get before that presence. And then Brother Bram talked about that, playing on the great screen. All those things was done. I imagine about then you'll wish you was never born, that you never existed. But it's too late. For now is the time for the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart. But if you don't have that kind of drive in your heart, cry out to God till you get it, if you're able to. Because truly we're in that age and time, saints. People don't have that. Very few. To do everything God says. It's just do what they feel is necessary. What they want to do. But when it comes to the full word, they don't want nothing to do with it. No. Like I said, so many times you can see people, believers, see them, watch what they do. And friends, what they wear, the slang they speak, worldly slang, and you know nothing's there. No. God's word plainly says what to do. 5 years later, no changes. See him again somewhere else, another couple years, no changes. Same old thing. But I pray God's mercy will change us completely and finish this work in our lives. It's getting close. Getting a bride ready. There's a lot more to this now. Don't just draw a conclusion with what I've said and try to think and bring up a conclusion. Oh, you'll never be perfect in this flesh, Brother Steve. Absolutely. But just give me time. But that won't change the desire on the inside and the pull and draw what's on the inside to be everything God wants you to be and overcome anything that isn't like Him. For us, the overcomer, I shall set with him on the throne. Not they just keep doing the same things over. The overcomer, the one that stops the nonsense, the evil, and start doing the right, what pleases God, you see. So I beg of you this morning to take heed and listen to God's word. You say, beg me? You beg me, Brother Steve? Absolutely. I beg you. Because I know how few it's going to be, he said. It's just going to be a little handful. Just a little handful. What that little handful is exactly, I don't know. But I just know this one thing. You can see it manifesting. There's going to be just a handful. Many were called to this message, friends. Many. Many are called. But few are chosen. Very few. God, help me to be one of them. Help me not to miss one nugget, Lord. Not one scripture. Not one word. But help me, Lord, to see every word. Bring it to my attention, Lord. If I lack anything, please reveal it to me. Please show me, Lord. If I want to be all you want me to be, amen. Let us all stand. Praise his name. Let's just sing a little chorus again. I want to live the way he wants me to live. Amen. I want to live the way wants me to live. I want to give until there's just no more to give. I want to love, love till there's just no more love. I could never heads bowed. Precious Heavenly Father, we again are so thankful for your word and the few words we've been able to exhort upon thus far. Help it become a greater reality in our hearts, Lord. It's a terrible thing, Lord, for a man or a woman or a young person, whoever it may be. It'd be a terrible thing to be blind and not know it. As you said in your scripture, blind, naked, wretched, and know it not. What a terrible time that was going to be you spoke of. For as we think of it in a way of natural sight, how could a person be blind and not know it? But Lord, blindness is a terrible thing. You know, Lord, I've had uncles that was blind, could not see. And I think of them, Lord, of how terrible life must have been to have to go through and trying to feel their way through everything and listen to sounds and vibrations and what things feel like. But, oh God, how much worse it would be to be spiritually blind. To, Lord, to think we're okay and not be okay. May we never become hardened to the Holy Spirit. May we never become hardened, Lord, to these times of gathering in here and listen to the Word of God, where we have an opportunity to search our lives and make sure everything's just the way you want it to be. We can see, Lord, what your Holy Spirit's doing in our hearts, our lives. And Father, we do. We want to make sure everything's right. Forgive us, Lord, if we have lacked in anything. Forgive us if we've been slowful at anything. We don't mean to be. Lord, we want to be right. We love you, and we don't want to hurt you. We want to be all you want us to be. Bless us now, Father. Give us what we need that'll bring us to that place in you, Lord. That thy will would be done in our lives. That you would get the glory and the honor and the praise. And once again prove to Satan that you've got a people that you will have preeminence of. He's done everything he possibly could to destroy that. He's tried to destroy everything you ever done. But Lord Jesus, you still are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There is no greater power than you. As the prophet said, Satan's power is not even real power. He can only pervert what you've already created. But Father, may we be yielded and surrendered again. That Father, you can have that preeminence. And get your glory and honor that's truly due to you. If you are the one that died for us, gave your life for us, now let us give our life to you. That we can be as Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. We give our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto you, Lord, just such a reasonable service. May we be conformed not to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Grant that, Lord, in our lives. In your holy name we ask, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Let's sing it again. I want to live the way he wants me to live.
I want to live the way he wants me to live. I want to give until there's just no more to give. I want to love, love till there's just no more love. I could never, ever outlove the Lord. May the Lord Jesus richly bless you. You're dismissed. Amen.